Now for the second passage, again equally briefly. Verse 8 to verse 20. I won't read that, that was read to you. Paul is arguing with these Galatians, and he's saying to them, now, do not go back to the law. Do not listen to these law teachers. I remind you that this is not something that finished 2,000 years ago. It's rampant today. Law teachers abound. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but they abound. Rule teachers, law teachers, legal teachers. I haven't come here to preach the law. I have come here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, the law was given by God to Israel under Moses. Of course, it's a glorious law. There's no fault with the law. No, no, no. I'm not. Paul says that in Romans 8. We'll meet that tonight. It's not the law. But the law was weak because it was me. I couldn't keep it. That's what he says in Romans 8, verse 2, 1 to 4. What does he say here? He's pleading with them now. He's using another argument. The best picture I can give you here, my friend, as you go up into chapter 5, you've got to imagine a man, a barrister in the court, and he's got his client in the box, in the dock. He's being charged. And if you like, it's a capital crime. And if he loses this case, that man's going to hang. Or electric chair, or whatever. Okay? You see the picture. Now, the barrister, the attorney, if he's a good attorney, I mean, some of you are legal people, you know more than I do, but a good attorney, what he's going to do is plead for this man's life. He's going to try and move the jury to acquit this man, to get him off. Okay? So he'll use every argument he can. He'll bring all the witnesses he can, and he'll use their answers, and he'll plead with the jury. And this is what Paul is doing here. It doesn't come over in the English, but the Greek he uses is quite haywire. It's because he's passionate. I was going to use the word frantic. He's not frantic, but he's so moved that the technical structure of his language goes out of the window, because he's in earnest for these Galatians. He fears that he's going to lose. He's afraid that when he's finished, they'll still go on with the law teachers. And so he punches home every argument. Now, the argument he uses from verse 8 to verse 20 is a personal argument. And he reminds them, I'm being very brief here, he reminds them that it was he, Paul, that had come to Galatia and preached the gospel to them, and that they had been converted. This is what he says. And he says, I remind you that I preached the gospel to you because I had an illness. I had an affliction. And that kept me there, or whatever. And he said, you loved me so much at that time because I was preaching the gospel to you. He said, you would have torn out your eyes, he said, and given them to me. Strange thing. Verse 15. You would have ripped out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, the idea is, I think almost certainly, that Paul had a dreadful eye disease. And therefore, he was there and he was disfigured with his eyes. In some form. You would have plucked out your own eyes. Yes, verse 15. You see, you loved me so much. And there was nothing you wouldn't have done for me. Because I preached the gospel to you, and you were converted under it. And you were brought into the liberty of the sons of God. And think of those joyous days when you were converted, he's saying. And think of the joy you had and the love you have for me. Now, he says, I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you about these men, and you don't like it. You turned your back on me. He uses words like, I'm perplexed about you. You know, what's happened to you? Verse 16, have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? Yes, he says, these men, if you look at verse 17, these men who are teaching, oh, they want you to be zealous. Oh, yes, they do. They want you to be zealous for the law. He said, it's very good to be zealous. Very good to be earnest. But you've got to be earnest in the right way. Now, let me illustrate that. I mean, I think I may have used the illustration before, but it's a true one. It's mine. Have you ever done this? Have you ever got on a motorway, an auto route? Have you ever got on a motorway? Have you ever got on the wrong slip road? I have. Stupid, isn't it? So what do you do? I was going north when I really wanted to go south. It was a complicated entrance. I'll tell you, it was in Bristol, but it was a complicated entrance. Nevertheless, I made a mistake. Okay. And once you've done it, you've done it, haven't you? So I'm on the road now, and I'm going north toward Gloucester. What can I do? Well, I got to turn round. No, you can't turn round. I know idiots do it, but you can. I've got to go on for 30 miles until the next slip turn off, and I've got to go back. I'm going 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, I'm going a mile a minute, but it's all in the wrong direction. I've said this, I'm doing well, the car's running well, but I'm making things worse every second, but I've nothing I can do about it. Or again, imagine, a man's out on a day's walk, and he's got his knapsack, and he's walking along very smoothly and very fast, and he comes across a rustic, and he says, "Can you tell me, my man, how long it will take me to get to such and such a village? How long will it take me to get there?" He said, "Well," he said, the "way you're going at the moment," he said, "it'll take you about 3 years," he said, "because you're going in the wrong direction. It's that way." My friend, you can be as zealous as you want for laws and regulations and rules and external things, but it won't make a scrap of difference or a scrap of contribution to your salvation or to your spiritual life. "My dear children," verse 19, "for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." I don't want law formed in you, I want Christ formed in you. I want you to be like Christ. "How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am," you've got standing there, "I am perplexed. I just scratch my head. I can't work out what's going on. Why are you going back to this slavery?" This is what he's saying. So that's skimmed the second portion.